I knew that. Thank you for being here this morning. Our service is going to take a little different schedule than normal, so let me kind of give you, we're going to welcome everyone. We're going to take initially some time to pray, to thank God, but to intercede for a lot of people that you know that haven't fared nearly as well as we have through this weather. So I think, and Paul believes, that it is only appropriate that we as God's people take time to pray for those that we know that are hurting, that are in devastating situations, and just intercede for them this morning. And then after that, we'll do some announcements. We've got a great celebration this morning. Drew is being baptized. Amen. So we got a lot to thank God for. So y'all have that photo up, that picture? This is a church that's down outside of Jonesboro. It's Enon Baptist Church, part of the Houston Baptist Association. You think they're having service this morning? So thank you for being flexible with the staff and being able to assess and make some decisions for today. We felt that it would be important for the body to come together and spend some time worshiping God, thanking Him, and praying this morning. And so we've got other people that are part of the congregation who are at different places, so we're kind of leaving them so that they can deal with what they need to. You'll see that Joey's not here this morning. He's in Elizabethton, and if you've seen the pictures there, I mean, it's been devastated. And he's got a lot on his plate, so he's not joining us. Rick has stepped up and taken over, and it's going to lead us in our worship. So, Rick, we appreciate you and the choir and so many others who have stepped up to be able to be flexible. So just thank you for that. So what we want to do is we want to spend some personal time as the body. You know people. You've got relatives. I've talked to several of you. You've got relatives that's in Asheville, in Boone, in Damascus, in Elizabethton. You know people. So we're going to take a little bit of time and just have you pray specifically for those that God brings to your mind. And then I'm going to have more or less a congregational prayer for those folks and just petition God. And then we'll go on with our service. Is that fair enough? Okay. If somebody feels like during this quiet prayer, standing up and just praying, you have the permission to be able to do that this morning, okay? But before we start our prayer time, I want to read Habakkuk 3:17, because although we know a lot of people who are hurting and are devastated, we know a God that is above all of our difficulties. So this is what Habakkuk writes. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. May we pray. Father, we know that you have heard every prayer that has been spoken here. Lord, in other churches, in other homes, we understand that praying is a form of worship where we acknowledge who you are. Lord, that we acknowledge that you are God, you are the creator, you are the provider, you are the sustainer, you are the healer. Lord, that you are the one that can make those things that are bad, that are not good, you can turn them into good. So, Lord, we pray for those who may have lost life. Pray for the families. We pray that you will comfort them. Lord, that through even that death, that someone will come to know you as a result of your work and your glorifying your name. Father, for those that are having difficulties, who don't have power, who don't have some of the necessities, I was talking with someone that people without power or access who need oxygen. So, Father, we just pray that you will comfort them, that you will provide for them. Lord, so much devastation that we see around us. We thank you that you have provided and that you'll continue to provide. We seek to be your hands and your feet and your back to be able to help those who need help. You guide us as a church, as individuals, to be able to step out and be your helping hand everywhere that we can. Lord, thank you for those that are here this morning and those that are listening online. Father, may this not be just the only time that we gather, that we pray. May our prayers be on our heart. May it be a fragrance, an incense of offering back to you our praise and worship. And then, Father, may we listen as you lead and guide us to be those hands and feet that you ask us to be. Lord, we thank you for our service today. We thank you that we can gather and we can worship the God, the Lord of our strength, that leads us and guides us even through difficult times. We praise you and honor you. We thank you for Drew and for his testimony that he's going to share this morning. And Lord, for the work that you have already done in his life. And Father, the commitment that we make as a congregation to come alongside him and help him become your disciple who disciples others. So Father, accept our worship. We praise you, we honor you, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Just a couple of things I want to make sure that you're aware of is there's no service tonight. We'll get back together on Wednesday night with regular things going on. Next Sunday night is the church picnic, so keep that on your calendar and be ready to just get together with the church family. If you know someone that's had some devastation through this, invite them to join us next Sunday afternoon in a picnic. It may be an opportunity for them to be able to be part of something and part of some fellowship and give them a change. So just invite them. God will provide, right, Peggy? So just make sure if you know somebody, invite them next Sunday afternoon to our church picnic. There's a whole bunch of other stuff in the worship folder or bulletin. I'm sorry, I'm trying to change that. In our bulletin, so make sure you get one and look at it and update your calendar and make sure you don't miss something. This morning, we have Marvin who's going to come and give us an update from our transition team. So, Marvin.
Laid out all this information I was going to give you.
Excuse me.
That's what this is for, right? Yeah, I had laid out a bunch of information on things that we discussed in our last meeting and getting everything lined up, and I was very much surprised when I got here and looked in the bulletin and it was already laid out for me. So if you'll grab this out of your bulletin, on the 20th of October here, we'll be having a luncheon, and at that time we'll be filling out a questionnaire that we came up with in the meeting, and we'll be pulling together a lot of the heritage from this church. And it'll be good to pull everything together and work on a timeline that we can somehow spread across a period of time and you can easily rig it. If you would pull out this bulletin, if you don't have any, please raise your hand. Anybody doesn't have anybody acquired? Okay. We will be, after the luncheon, we'll be going over these questions and letting everybody fill them out, and then we'll be discussing them in separate groups with using the team on different tables. So just to prepare you for what we're going to be doing. And we will have we'll be covered with child care and nursery workers. So any children under 13 will be over in this section, and the rest of the children above 13 will be over with the adults and their families. There is also a sign-up sheet in the back for anybody that's interested in a video interview of some of the things that you've done here at the church, some special events, special things that you've been involved with. And we'd like to get some people to do that so we can show them on the screen during the worship services for a while. So those sign-up sheets are in the back of the church, and please help us, some of us, to fill out. Anybody feels a bit more to do that? That's about all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Marvin. So make sure you get that on your calendar, October 20th, and sign up. We're looking for headcount for meals and whatnot, so just fill this out, and then you can put it in the offering plate, and they'll get separated. So anybody need one? Everybody got one? Great. So we ought to have a good turnout today, Johnny, so that'll be great. All right, our backup, Joey's not here for me to turn around and say, did I miss anything? So, Peggy, did I miss anything? So, we are now going to witness a baptism, so y'all just get your praising God hats on, and we'll celebrate with Drew, okay?
All right. Good to see you guys this morning. About to witness what symbolizes death to an old life and a new life arising. And in this case of Drew Brush, I can tell you for certain, this is a new person that's standing next to me. I've known him for a few years. And so his testimony is that he listened to a sermon on confession of sin to God and others, and he did that, and poof, I mean, the power of God got on him, and he's a new person. It's the only way I know how to describe it. It's a beautiful thing. For many years in youth ministry and just in church, you would see people become saved or say that they are born again, and then you wonder afterwards, like, did anything happen? I'm not positive. I've always wanted to see the real thing. Like, God, would you just begin to move in such a way that there is no, it's clear that you have regenerated a heart and they're a new person. And God's been showing me these people here recently, just radical change in people when they begin to walk in the truth of Scripture and confession of sin, confession to others. The power of what that does in cleaning out your own heart, and that's something that is the backside of the gospel. Every single one of us must do it, and you got to continue to do it. You don't stop doing it. It's something you do from now on. And so when we do that, church, the Spirit of God starts to fill us in new ways, and awesome things happen. So we're here to witness the death, burial, and resurrection of Drew Brush. Drew, you ready?
I am.
All right. Come on around. Drew, is it true that you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life?
I have.
Upon that profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in new life. All right, thank you, church. Rick, we're ready to worship.
You know, in the midst of all these floods and natural disasters around today, or over the weekend rather, we've got something to stand on, don't we? We can stand on the promises of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand and sing this morning? This time.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning, dear Heavenly Father, and on just such an odd day, dear Heavenly Father, but we want to give you praise, dear Heavenly Father, and just thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for protecting us. And I do lift up again those people that have been affected, dear Heavenly Father, not just here in our region, but throughout the rest of the United States, dear Heavenly Father. I pray for my brothers and sisters, dear Heavenly Father, who were on the front lines, dear Heavenly Father, and going in to help these people that need help, dear Heavenly Father. I pray that you just give them strength and wisdom, dear Heavenly Father, and just give them the courage, dear Heavenly Father, to go in and be able to assist, dear Heavenly Father. Just lift all these things up to you, dear Heavenly Father. Your word tells us that we have to put our trust in you, dear Heavenly Father. And we're doing that now, dear God. And we're just asking you for strength and help us to be able to help our brothers and sisters. Help us to be able to help our neighbors, dear Heavenly Father. And we just ask that out of all this devastation, that your glory, your light will be shined, dear Heavenly Father. And that you will be seen through this, dear Heavenly Father. And somehow, some way, dear God. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for once again, just allowing us to be here together for just a few moments, just to give you praise and glory and honor, dear Heavenly Father. I just pray that you just take this offering and ask that you just use it to further your kingdom. And we just love you and we praise you and thank you for all that you do for us. It's your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Feel the presence of Jehovah here this morning. Amen. That's what the name of that song was, in the presence of Jehovah. Shall we stand and sing one more time? Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a
So good to be back in town, home. Was gone last week. And y'all remember the passage in Isaiah? It says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard against him. That's what it says. So that's what we do. We look for the standard being lifted up. We want to be part of that because we are in Christ. Our hope of glory is the standard himself. Lifting up, being raised up in us, through us, and God doing what he wants to do. So even though things are shaking, remember we keep the perspective of things are being shaken so that the things that need to be shaken out are gone so that we can shake in the things that are going to stay there forever, eternity. And we let go of things and we get new things. That's the beauty of walking with Christ. New life. Everlasting life. Eternal life. Nothing missing and nothing broken. It's all in Him. And so Miss Meredith was reminding me, Brother Phil has been working with disaster relief for many years now, and it's been, you know, many of us have prayed with him everywhere he goes. He'll put these prayer prompts out, and so he's been all over the place, and now he's being sent to Boone, North Carolina, just right next door. So she wanted to remind us to be lifting him up, and let's just be praying for him. So we'll do that right now before we get started, and just pray that right here in our own backyard, guys, there's opportunity, and we need to be looking at what could we do, how could we do it. Many times it's so hard to help. How many of y'all know nobody likes to be helped these days? It's like, I'll take care of it. It's this independence that we've got worked in us so hard that it's like, it's not good, honestly. It's gotten too far over there. So looking for opportunity that works, that we could really help people do something. It's right here. Brother Phil's going in an organized effort. That's the other problem, is that getting it organized. It's like there has to be organization or it's just chaos. If y'all would just pray with me here as we'll add Brother Phil and what's going on in Boone. Lord, we've been praying. Lord, we're in a state of prayer. We're in unceasing prayer before you right now with just our hearts open. So many things are happening all around us. We can't even keep up with all the information and all the different stories of need and heartbreak. And Lord, but we can focus ourselves upon our Brother Phil, who we know and love, and we know your heart in him. And so, Father, we know this is a vessel that you can flow through powerfully and to meet needs that are specific. And, Lord, we just lift him up right now and pray that he would just be singing his song, Lord God, in this season of his life, that song would come through him so strong, Father, that as he speaks and as he serves, that the very voice of God would come through him. For you have prepared him and shaped him through many trials and tribulations through the years so that you could do this powerful thing in him now. So, Lord, we just pray that he have a new, refreshed, restored, and powerful voice that brings life, that reveals truth, that points others to you in very practical ways and also very meaningful ways deep in the heart. I pray, Father, that you would just go before him and subdue the enemy, that he would be speaking with the people that you would desire him to, and that the word of the Lord would come forth and the kingdom of heaven would be built through his efforts. And Lord, we just lay him before you, and we're so grateful for his service to you. And Lord, we ask you, help us as a church to also be utilized and to be your hands and feet. As we've already prayed, Lord, we just continue to pray as we stay in a state of prayer, asking for you to continue to work and do and move. And Lord, we love you and praise you this morning. And thank you for what you're going to do through Brother Phil's life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay, this morning we are in the section of heritage. Now we're going through the transitional interim ministry, and the first stage is heritage. Heritage is another way of saying inheritance. This is what we gain. This is who we are. This is the substance of what God is in us and what he's doing in and through us as a body of believers. And he took me into a specific place this morning that I know is a critical word for the church, for us to understand. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 45 today. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to read the first 15 verses. It's going to be a familiar story of Joseph's life. And, you know, sometimes I take for granted that everybody in here knows the story of Joseph, which that can't be the truth. But Joseph's life story is a phenomenal look at the process of God. That God knows the end from the beginning. So he knows what he had written on Joseph's heart, what he was going to do, what he was called to do, who he was called to be. And that's that Ephesians 2:10 workmanship that I talk about quite a bit. I do that because you have a workmanship. I have a workmanship. We all have our own unique workmanship. It is the song that you're to sing. And it's critical that it's heard. That's why I talk about it all the time. It has to be heard. That's God's, or let me say it this way. God wants it to be heard. Therefore, it's very important, okay? We got to know where he's going with things so we can align with him to get there. Otherwise, it's just an awful, you know, being drugged through a knothole backwards, which is no fun. We can work with him in our pain and our struggle, understanding we're being trained, right? It's one thing to go through basic training. It's hard enough. What if you didn't know why you were there? It's like, I'm just getting beaten for nothing. They're yelling at me for nothing. But when you understand what we're going through, you're like, oh, I'm being strengthened. I get it. Okay, this is good for me. I'm going to work with this situation. I'm going to grow. Many of us in the body of Christ aren't understanding what God's doing. And so we're just flailing around, pointing fingers at other people. You did this. They're wrong. Switching churches. I mean, y'all been to church as long as I have? There's just so much of that. I'm not saying there isn't a time to switch churches. I'm just saying that there's too much of it. We don't understand what God's after, and we blame the circumstances that he's using to get after what he's after, instead of just growing and letting him have it. And so the story of Joseph is a clear, I mean, it's one of the best examples in Scripture about the process of God. What is he after? Joseph starts out with that dream of God, and the dream of God is that workmanship. It is his future. He sees the future. He's going to be a big shot. Everybody's going to be bowing down to him. He's in a place of position and power. And that is the future. And he saw it early in a dream, and then he talked about it. But what wasn't matching at that point in his life was the character God needed him to have when he had that power. He lacked the heart of God to get that type of power. And so God puts him through process so that he can give him the heart that he needs to stand in the position of power and to do it well, to do it right, to do it the way God wanted it done. Not the way humans do it, the way that God would do it. So he's a leader that God can trust to treat the people right, to treat them well. And so he puts him through severe process. And every time I think I've got it bad, all I got to do is read some of these Old Testament saints that went through serious, serious process. Go to the book of Daniel. See what happened to that poor guy. Good night. I can always look at those lives and say, well, it's not that bad. Yeah, it's relative and it hurts and all that, but it's not as bad as it could be. Other people have been through a lot worse, and we get ourselves oriented properly to the point where we're grateful. We're like, God, thank you that it's rough, but I can make it. You're doing a good thing in me. And those are things that we need to see in Scripture. So Joseph's life is an awesome life to look at, to study. God's used his life specifically for me over the past 20 years for encouragement and for understanding and to get orientation. Y'all know how hard it gets? Anybody out there know how hard it gets? You get so dizzy, you don't know up from down. You don't know what is going on. I've lost all sense of things. And God wants to give you orientation. Y'all know when the malls used to be a big thing? Like the mall in Orlando. I think that big mall is still going in Orlando. You go to that big mall and you walk up to this kiosk and it's this map of the whole mall and it'll say, you are here. And you get oriented to where you are. And you can look at what it's got to offer and where you stand. And if I go right, that's over here. If that's left, I go over here. Being oriented is awesome. God wants to give us orientation. These stories give us orientation to what's happening, to the difficulty, to the training, to the pain of it. Okay, so that's what we want to gain today, is an understanding of what is God doing to me? God, y'all ever ask that? What are you doing to me, God? Why? What? He'll tell you. He's got wonderful reasons for it. And our heritage, this would be the name of my sermon for you guys that I typically don't do this, but God's heart is our heritage. That's the name of this message. God's heart is our heritage. That's our inheritance. That's what he wants to get into you and me. And he'll use everything to make that happen, to get us there. The difficulties. Especially, guys, listen, if you've been in church long enough, you know this. He will use the people around you right here to get his heart into you. And we miss this one. Because we're sure it's just because this person's so bad. That's really what's happening here. Let me interpret this situation. That person right there, terrible. Worst ever. I'm pointing to Miss Beulah, so you know that I'm not aiming at anybody because she's one of those wonderful people that I've ever known. But she would tell you, I'm a broken person. Right, Miss Beulah? We're all that way. It's not that that person is so bad. It's that God wants his heart in you so bad that he's willing to let this person be a problem to you. See, each and every one of us are dipsticks. God will just pick us up and use us to see how much of the oil of the Spirit's in there. I'll take this dipstick and check it out. See, and what we don't, we get offended by the dipstick. How dare you show me how low of oil I am? How dare you expose my weaknesses? How dare you expose the fact that I don't really believe that Jesus died for me and gave me a new life and says I'm valuable? How dare you expose the lack of value that I have in myself and the self-hatred that I have for myself? How dare you do that? But that's what he's going to do, folks. He's going to do it here with us. You're not my enemy. And I want Christ's heart. And that's taken me a long time to get to this point. And it does take some time. But man, if we'll understand, if we'll get oriented to the process of what God's doing, you can get there quicker, I think, you know. It's one thing to have a baby in 9 months. What if you carried the thing for 5 years? I've never been pregnant, but I've seen people who are pregnant. And man, it gets rough out there. It's like, I can feel your pain. You need to get that thing out. Right? See, so God wants to get these things out so they can live. He wants to get himself into us, and he uses the people around us to do it. And that's just the truth. So the quicker we get an understanding of that and help one another in that, the better off the body is going to be. We're going to be strong together. We are sparring partners, guys. In the ancient days when people like Sparta, who were known for, they were a warrior people. That's all they did was train for war. Who do you think they used to get better? Each other. Just kick each other around and get better. They don't take it personal. You're making me stronger. You're making me better. We can work through this. We can rise above this. You're being healed. I'm being healed. We're all being healed. Jesus is the healer. He's the unifier. He's the ultimate. I don't need my way when we have his way. So Genesis 45 here, let's read this. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. And then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. And then he said, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Wow, what a perspective. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all of the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you've seen. And you shall hurry and bring my father down here. And then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Man, what a phenomenal story. Now, you guys know this is sort of the crescendo of the story of Joseph. Because as I said, he started out back home. I'm not going to go over the whole story because I've got things I want to talk about, But his brothers sold him into slavery. It's like you talk about rejection, abandonment. The greatest pain a person could possibly go through is for their family to reject them on that level. And Joseph is sold off into slavery, goes off into Egypt, and then has about a 20-year period of just a really, really bad season. I don't know how bad your seasons have been, but this is a bad one. And yet he comes through it transformed. And that is the process. God puts us through process because he wants to get his heart into us. And that's what we see clearly takes place in Joseph's life. He comes out with a perspective that is nothing short of divine. It is certainly not human. That he could understand there's a bigger picture here, that he could allow those years for as the pain would come up. If you can imagine the rejection, the pain of that moment of being sold into slavery, and you know how we rehearse pain and it gets deeper and stronger and more powerful. Y'all know the pain that we have is a pain, it's a meaning that we give it. We come up with the meaning. That's why it hurts so bad. You don't have to stay with that meaning. You can have that meaning transformed if you'll let God have it. He'll change the meaning. So without a question, when this all went down early on, Joseph's got some pretty bad perspective on why his brother sold him, how he should hate them, how he should be hurt by this. But through the years, as he just opened up his heart and hands to God, clearly, obviously involved the Lord in God. At least, I don't know what his prayers were, but I'm imagining, God, would you show me what it is? What are you doing? What is this? I know the dream because you've already given me the dream. What's the purpose in this? Lord, could you help me see? Y'all know God will help you see. It's the entire purpose of being born again, that we get his spirit that gives new meaning, true meaning. All the lies that we get filled with that hurt so bad, they can never give you anything but death. They can't be redeemed. You have to let go of them and he'll give you a new version that is the true version. Here's what really happened. Let me help you understand. But ultimately, you're trusting me with life. That's what God says. You're trusting me. There's a bigger picture, Paul. The world does not revolve around you like what we believe when we're born. You know, all of us are born that way, thinking that the world revolves around us. It's life that teaches us something different, right? You find, hopefully, it dawns on you. Some people, it never does dawn on them. It's like, why isn't everybody doing what I want them to do? Never does work out for them. Why? Because there's only one center. God is the center. We revolve around him. There's more going on than what we understand in our little pea brains, in our tiny little vision, and our perspective. There's more going on, folks. It's a whole lot more complicated than you and I can hold on to. And that's why we have to trust Him ultimately. Man, it's a beautiful thing that He'll give us. Psalm 133:1, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Fatherhood is at the center of the universe. That's one of those C.S. Lewis quotes that I love because it's the truth. God is our Father. He's at the center. And He's fathering you and me at all times with purpose. He wants to get His heart into you and me. That is His miracle. If we'll play ball with Him, He'll get it done. That's what we got to do. That's His aim. That's His goal. Romans 8, 28 and 29 is another way of saying what we just saw in Joseph's life. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the firstborn so that many brethren could come after Him and be just like Him. And the Father, His aim, His goal, is to conform you and me into that firstborn Son, Jesus. That's the whole point. We have to get God's heart into our heart. That's what He's doing. That's the destination. We can go ahead and just stick with the destination. God, I agree with You. I want Your heart in my heart. Does anybody want to agree with me on that? God, I want Your heart in my heart. I'm telling you guys, if we let God do that here, we will change the world. But we have to understand how He's going to do it. He's going to use the people around you to test that. What kind of love do you have? Is it a God love? Is it a love that says this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? We're going to find out. I'll tell you that much. The beauty is, that is the truth. That is what God says. Yes, that's my Son right there, and He's got my heart. I know He's going to come through this test on top. I believe in Him. I know He's going to do it. That's what God says about you and me. He believes in us because He believes in Himself. He believes in His own fathering, His own ability, His own glory. Oh, they're going to see, they're going to believe, they're going to know. There's nothing that can compare to the glory I'm going to give them. There's nothing that can compare. I know they're going to get that. I know they understand that. I believe that in you, my son and my daughter. You're going to get through this trial. And you're going to come out on the other side the way that Joseph did. Say, God did this for His glory and for my good. I'm stronger in Him. I can let go of all these circumstances, all these things that come and go and up and down and everywhere and all over. I can let it go. I don't have to have control. I don't have it anyway. I can just let it go. Let God be in control. God, You're all that I want. I just want Your heart, Father. That's all I want. I don't need it my way. I need You. And if I have the headwaters of the Spirit of life that comes out of the throne, coming out of my innermost being, I have everything. There isn't anything else to gain. All these other rewards will come down the road, but they are so far down the line as secondary, they do not compare to what I have in Him. And this life goes so fast, guys. It goes so fast. Let it go. Let it go. Lay it down. Just go ahead and gain Him. The heart of Jesus was to be with the Father. That's what we find. Remember that if God's conforming us into the image, remember that word, that Hebrew word I love to repeat, because that's how we learn, that selam. Selam is that word image, in the image of. It means shadow. That's that John 5:19 where Jesus said, I do whatever I see the Father doing. I'm the shadow of the Father, the selam, the image of God. That's who I am. When He moves, I move. I am in sync with him because he's all that I want. And I'm trusting him with the outcome, with the outflow, with all these other things. I'm trusting him to do this. See, I'm being fed by life. Fed by life. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So what does Jesus love? Well, again, I'm gonna repeat it again. We're on repeat here. If you're listening to me. John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's the heart of Jesus towards the Father. He loves. Now, don't think that's not going to be tested. Jesus got tested way worse than you and I are going to get tested. You know what happened right after this? Now, Jesus is love, and that was what his claim was. I am love. Jesus loves purely and truly. But here's the test. Who betrayed him? Just right after this, it's happening. Even while he prays this prayer, he already knows that he told them they would. They betrayed him. His best friends, everything that he gave to the people closest to him, his closest compadres, his little church, to put it into our common world here, his church, the people he had loved and served and given and loved and done everything for, they betrayed him, those people. Now do you love Jesus? Yeah. He's still loved. Pass that test, right? What about on the cross? The ultimate test. Who put him on that cross? I mean, I know our sin did, and I understand the circumstances, but ultimately, who put him there? His own Father. The one that he loved, the one that he, that's all that he wanted was the Father. The Father's the one that put him there. Do y'all see that as a test? Do you still love Jesus? Do you still love me even after I do this to you? Even though this is what I'm doing to you, do you still love me? Gosh, the tests. That's what I love about Jesus. There's nothing I could possibly put to him that he hasn't done so much more than I could even imagine doing. He's tested. Oh my goodness, the tests. And that's what he says here. He says, why have you forsaken me? Can you hear the pain in his heart? Why have you forsaken me, Father? But what does he end with? The person that gave him that level of pain, what does he say? Into thy hands I commit my spirit. It's the ultimate, folks. Nobody in the church is going to hurt you that deeply. I promise you. Nobody here is going to go through that level of testing with a brother or a sister in this room. Nobody. Guys, that's what the test looks like. That just gives you a taste of how far will God go to get his heart into you? He'll go as far as he needs to. But I promise you, he'll use the people around you. Who else is he going to use? Somebody from Alaska? You don't even know? No, he uses us. Now, will we respond? Will we understand? Well, that's a broken person. God, I pray, help me work through this. You know, help me, God. Help me. God, help me. I want your heart more than I want anything else. And I want that person to be blessed at the same time. I want you to work in their lives too. Father, I know you're the center. And I know this is far more complicated than I could ever imagine. So I give them into your hands. And I ask you, give me your heart, Lord. I want to come. I want to rise above this problem. And I want to magnify you. And how I live in what I do. See, that's a prayer that God will answer. You know how many times I've prayed that kind of prayer? Continually. It never stops. Because that's how you get his heart. That's how it happens. The test. Your response to the test. See, it's not that they're just an awful person. Although that could be true. I don't know. And you don't know either, because we don't know people's hearts. We don't know their motives. We don't understand. We don't see what God sees, do we? And so we have to lay all of that out there. We have to say, God, just do this in me. I just want you. I don't need this outcome. I let go of that. I need you is what I need. See, if we'll understand what God's after, then we can get somewhere as the body of Christ transforms. Man, Jesus just really did. He severely tested and passed the test. Jesus proved unequivocally that he is love. It's who he is. Thoroughly tested. Philippians 2, 8, and 9. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He went from the pit to the palace. And we have to go through that ourselves many times. It's not a one-time thing. It's an over and over and over as God digs deeper inside of our hearts and our motives and our intentions and our desires. He's digging in us so he can fill us with himself. Now, on the other side of that test that Jesus had, Jesus has a new life and a relationship with Peter. Peter stabbed him in the back. Jesus went through that test, and on the other side of the test has this powerful new relationship with Peter. Speaks life into him and creates a world changer in this man's life, along with all the other disciples. On the other side of that test, he had a new relationship with the Father himself, reunited in perfect love, having passed the test. But Jesus' mettle was tested. That's what I want to get to. If the Father's going to test Jesus' mettle, you think he's going to test our mettle? I can assure you that, folks. It's going to happen. We've got to get a mindset of understanding so we can go through these things appropriately and grow. We have to. We're going to. That's my faith. My faith is you and I are going to. We're going to figure this out. We've been in church long enough. We've seen this long enough, haven't you? Anybody want to go try to find another church where it's all going to work out for you? Or are you ready to just get his heart? Hey, enough's enough. Let's just get on page with what he does and get his heart and change the world. Why don't we do that? Don't need another church. You don't need another group of people. You just need to yield and surrender to his process and gain his heart. That's what we need to do. So what is our true heritage? It is God's heart. To have the heart of God. To love what he loves and be the way he is. That's the heritage that we have. That's the ultimate heritage for us here. And it's the whole purpose of this church. That's why we're here today. It's why we come to this place. To encourage one another in this. To have understanding. And to work it out. For iron to sharpen iron. Which there's friction. If y'all have thought about that. There's a bit of friction in iron sharpening iron, right? There's some friction there. But we can overcome the friction. Why? Because we serve the overcomer. We can bless each other in the process. We can grow in this. So let's look at Psalm 105 real quick. And I've got to come to the end of things here. Because Psalm 105 is it's like a condensed version of this story. It's the one that I have looked at over and over and over. Psalm 105, 17 through 24 is like just in a few verses, it gives you the whole shot of Joseph's process. Okay? And I just want to point a couple things out real quick as we finish up. It says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Now, what's the test for? Let me stop there. What's the test for? He says, do you have my heart, Joseph? Because where you're going in your position of power, I need you to have my heart. Because it's the whole reason he was there, right? He was sent there so that he could bring his family to him and care for them and nourish them and love them. Now, if you don't have God's heart, then the entire purpose of this is shot. It's the word that tested and proved him. That's that word of that fire, you know, being put into the fire like the metal, testing the metal, getting out the impurities. Gosh, it's the test that gets us. You know, it's our ego that gets us in trouble. Because when our insufficiencies are exposed, our ego jumps up and our pride, and we want to get angry and upset, and all our insecurities are flared up, right? And all that does is prove that you don't have the value of God's love in your heart. It's very shallow at best. You got to get more of that in you. Ask me how I know this. I have struggled so much with value, that I'm valuable at all. I have struggled with self-hatred like you guys, maybe some of you guys do understand. And I'm finding as I talk to you, many of you deal with the same things. Self-hatred. You can't make the cross of Jesus Christ and resurrection life and self-hatred come together. They don't. They don't go together. But many of us are living as if they do. Y'all know what I'm saying? They don't go together. One has to go. And so what God will do is he'll get you in situations where it's exposed. And you've got to work through it. You've got to get some help to get some help. To get some help. What do I got to do? Confess whatever. Get it out of me. I don't want it anymore. God, give me your heart. Get me through this. It's a serious process that we got to take seriously. The word of the Lord will test it and bring out the impurities. It says the king sent and released him, the ruler of peoples, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. That's the process. Now, there's several miracles that took place here. Miracle number one we could look at here. The king released him from prison. I mean, he gets an opportunity to, first he miraculously knows how to interpret dreams because God gives him this gift. Then he has the opportunity to interpret dreams that gets him in a position to interpret more dreams that he interprets correctly and impresses powerful people. He gets all these opportunities, all these miracles are occurring. So the king releases him from prison. And then the second enormous miracle, he makes him lord of the house. He puts him second in command because of what he sees in him. These are incredible miracles, but none of those are the ones that God is impressed with. There is one miracle in this story that God goes, that's my boy right there. Do you see him? Do you see him? Let me tell you the one that God was really, really impressed with. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler throughout all Egypt. He says, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God's going, there he is right there. There's my Christ-like son. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But we trust you. We know what you're doing. We trust your work in and through us. We trust what you're up to, your goodness in and through us. I can let go of what my brother and sister did to me. And I can bless them too, Lord. And I'll get all the poison out of me. How many of y'all know I've been through some things too? I've had some church people do things to me. I've had some leaders in church do some things to me. And I could say, oh, terrible, awful person. And you can go that route if you want to. Won't help anything. Because ultimately, God's the one that put that person in my life to expose the junk in me. And thank God for it. I mean, now I'm on the other side of it. It's like, God, thank you for that person. I never would have known what was really in me as well as I do now if that hadn't been exposed. If they hadn't made me feel like I wasn't valuable, I would have never run into the power of your value in my heart. See, it just got exposed. Why? Because God doesn't want me in leadership with that kind of a heart. What if I was given leadership of this church and I hated myself? Y'all know what that means for you? Not good. There's no way to lead other people when you hate yourself. You can't lead anyone into love or value or anything else. You can lead them into more self-hatred and religion and reasons to hate yourself more. And here, let's beat ourselves since we're so terrible and awful. I don't feel that way about myself anymore. Why? Because in my time through church, these things were exposed by brothers and sisters. I hold nothing but love for those people now. Why? Because I went through the process of when that pain would come and my old way of interpreting what happened would come, I would say, God, I give this to you. I trust in you and your purpose in me. And I know that's part of it because I've read the Bible. And I understand this story and I know that this is happening to me now. So just do the same thing in me you did in Joseph. It may feel like I'm in prison and these things are cutting into my flesh, but I know, Lord God, that it's you holding me here for a good purpose. So do that purpose in me. And I worship you for this process, and I ask you to bless that person. Pour your spirit out on them. Heal them. Love them. Lift them up. God, do wonderful things for them. And I did that 1,000 times until there's no more pain in there. There's no more anger in there. There's no more bitterness in there. It's all gone. And I'm just filled with trust in God. And oh, goodness, it feels good. You know how hard it is to get everybody to act the way you want them to act? You talk about stress and no peace. Never, ever will you touch peace with that mentality. If you're thinking about this person and how much of a problem they are to you, let it go, folks. Let God fill you in such a way that this person just doesn't bother you so much anymore. They're not that big of a deal. There's something greater in me welling up, lifting me up. I'm even able to talk to them and deal with them in a way that I can influence them to change a little bit. God, imagine if we get into this, guys, if we understand how God is working here. What he's ready to do if we'll let go of our bitterness and our old pain and shame. And again, I'm going to go back to this confession thing because you've got to talk about it. You think I didn't have people to talk that over with? Trusted people. Pour out my pain, my anger, my bitterness. Let them take it, hear it, pray for me. That's how transformation occurs, folks. It doesn't happen any other way. And that's the invitation for us all. And I know that I know that I know that God has declared over this church, I am doing a new thing. Let the old things go and let's step up into the new and let the new come. And I just believe we're all going to do it. That is my firm conviction. That's what we're going to do. Because God's ready to do an incredible work here through us at this church. And that's our hope, Christ in us, our hope of glory, so that we can have the same attitude that Joseph had and we can have the same attitude that Christ had, because that is what God is after, to be conformed into the image of his Son. Man, it's such a good deal. So as we move into a time of invitation, let me just ask you guys. I know we struggle with this because we're humans, okay? It's not bad to struggle. It's true. It's real. We struggle. We get hurt. It's real hurt, not fake hurt, real hurt. And that's fine. That means you're normal. But the process of God is for you to let him do a divine work. It's a divine thing. You can't do this work. It's a divine work. We have to hold it out there to him. He does that divine part. But we just have to let him have it. Here, God, have that. Have this. So in this time of invitation, Rick, as your team comes up, be thinking through, okay, what is it? What am I holding on to? I do this meditation now that says this, God, I give you everything and everyone. I give you everyone and everything. It's all yours. It's all yours. I let go of it. I let go. I detach. I give it to you. Come into me with yourself. Give me what you have decided to give me, which is your heart and your love. So I invite you all in this time of invitation to get into your own heart and see what's in there and give it away. Give it away. If we'll all stand. The altar is open for any decision you'd like to make. If you need prayer, if you'd like us to anoint you with oil, if you'd just like to share some things with me, if you'd like to make any kind of decision whatsoever, the altar is open. Please come forward.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
just about done here. We got just an awesome thing happening here. This is Chelsea. What's the last name? Sari. Sari. Okay. Chelsea, Sari. Come on up here, Chelsea. Now, this is Connie and Sam Messer's daughter. And she just came up here and said that on August the 29th of this year, she gave her life to Christ. And, yeah. Goodness. And it just hit me. I just, I'm overwhelmed with God, how good He is. That He speaks to people, that he tells us the truth, that there's a way out, and that we can follow Him and we can see Him. And God, it's just such a beautiful thing to see in other people's lives it happening. And so, Chelsea, I just am so grateful. Thank you for coming up here. She comes. She's been watching online, but she's coming before us today to be baptized. And so, we want to vote on that. All those in favor of Chelsea Sori coming into faith in Christ and becoming a member of Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church through baptism, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Man, it's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. God is moving here. Please, please, please walk with Him. Please walk with Him. That's right. Amen. Amen. It is. It is. It's celebration from the time we go through the waters all the way through, guys. It is good news. And so we'll get with Chelsea soon and figure out when we're going to do that. Okay? But be praying for her until then. And be praying for our church. There's more to come, guys. There's more happening. So as we close out, I'm going to leave Chelsea up here. Sam, if you want to stand up here with her, and you guys come through and hug her neck and just love on her, pray for them. And man, what an awesome day. It's a good day. Father, we love You. We thank You that You're here moving. Lord, I was just telling Chelsea, it's incredible to see the Spirit of God move upon the waters, just brooding over what He calls His own. And Lord, we see that over Chelsea, just Your Spirit brooding and calling forth new life. And Lord God, You're brooding over this congregation. Lord, call forth new life. May we hear You and respond to You. May we believe You and may we act it out. God, help us to understand process. And let us just have Your way, Lord God. Fill us with Your heart. We praise You, Father. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Come on up, Sam. Bless you, Chelsea.